All right, so we, last week we were looking at God remembering his covenant and what all that meant. Does God forget anything? Very good. No, so God does not remember, doesn't have to remember anything. He doesn't have to set his alarm clock or anything. Back in the day, the alarm clocks were all powered by electricity. Sometimes you'd not wake you up because the power went out. So, does God have any human traits? That's right, no. So God is spirit, right? So why do you think he... Bible refers a lot of times to God seeing, God hearing, God stretches his arm out, all that stuff. Right, right. Those are all the attributes that we have, and those are the things we understand. We know that God is a spirit, but we can't visualize him, what he is. We know a lot of his attributes and things like that. But to exactly explain God as a spirit, it's a little tough. All right, so our reading is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. You have to excuse my voice. It's a little froggy. I'm getting over sore throat. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Hebron, Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside and to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, okay, and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. All right. All right, so who appeared to Moses in the burning bush? Angel of the Lord. Christ, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right, so why did God tell Moses to remove his sandals from his feet? It's holy ground, that's right. So being God appeared there, made that ground holy. Because the ground had been made holy by God's presence, God is holy, so we must approach him with honor, respect, and awe. What did God call Moses to do? Go to Pharaoh, yep, and get his people out of Israel or Egypt. So our main idea, we're going to reflect on God. God reveals his name and nature so that people, his people, can know him as their Savior. If you've ever been someplace where there was a campfire, you would probably roasted marshmallows around it. To keep the campfire going, someone must keep putting wood on it. After a while, all the wood burns up and turns into ash because the fire eats the wood. The fire depends on wood as the source of fuel. Without the wood, there cannot be a fire. Right? But that is not the case with the fire Moses saw. The fire was far from ordinary. It started by itself. It kept itself burning. An appearance of God in the form of fire. In this case, the fire burned, but the bush was not burned. Was not burned up. The fire did not depend on the bush at all. Just like this fire, God does not depend on anybody or anything. No one made him. He does not need anyone to feed him. He does not depend on anyone from his creatures and his life in himself. This is why God tells Moses, his name is I Am. All right, God was explaining to Moses that nothing is too hard for him. It was not too difficult for him to rescue his enslaved people from Egypt. And it is not too difficult for him to rescue enslaved sinners from the bondage of the devil and sin. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself as the God of the burning bush. John 8:58, we compare it to Exodus 3:14. He was the angel of the Lord who appeared to Moses, and he is the Savior of all who receive his word and believe in him. In Christ, God makes himself known to us. Even though God does not need anything from us, he desires that we would know him, love him, worship him, obey him, and he encourages us to do this by revealing to us his covenantal love and glorious Savior in Jesus Christ. All right. Does God depend on anyone or anything to be himself or to carry out his plans? No. No. God doesn't need anyone or anything to be who he is or to carry out his will. That's what we call God's sovereignty. How does the fire in the bush teach us about God? What do we learn from the bush? Was the bush burned up? No. So the bush was still there. It was still a bush. It never burned up. So if you have a wood stove or you've gone camping, you know, you got to keep putting fire on it because that gets burned up. For a normal fire to exist, it needs wood or something other substance to burn. But this fire did not burn up the bush, showing that it did not depend on the bush to keep burning. In a similar way, though God graciously lives with his people, he does not depend on them or need them. And that's a wonderful truth about God, is that despite him not needing us whatsoever, he desires to have a relationship with us. And if you are a Christian, you believe in Christ, it brings great gratitude to know that this God that doesn't need me would like to have a relationship with me or with you. What should be our response to God being he doesn't need us or depend on anyone? Kind of gave the answer away. Gratitude, that's right. And there's nothing in us for him to really even like either. Matter of fact, before we're born again, we are evil. We're sinners. There's nothing good about us. That's why we are saved by grace. unmerited favor, right? So we should be grateful that God wants a relationship with us, and we should praise him and worship him. And that's what we're all here for this morning. So we'll pray this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead you and your family to a greater understanding in the greatness of God, who needs no one or nothing. All right, so let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, now gracious God, Father, we do thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. What glory we can give you. We esteem glory and honor to you, for you are worthy, Father. We know that you are spirit, that you don't have arms and legs and eyes and all that, but you do see us, you hear us, you know us, for you have a mind. It's different than ours, for sure. And we pray for the worship this morning, Father. Pray that it would be pleasing to you. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.